Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mona Montgomery with this evening's edition of The Hola Hoax. Well, it's been 2 years since we've been conducting our independent research on World War II, independent, that is, of our Jew-controlled government. What we have found is there were no gas chambers, 6 million Jews did not die in the concentration camps, and Hitler's final solution was a plan to export, deport, relocate, and transport, as opposed to exterminating all of the Jews out of the white man's homelands. The cost of this incredible hoax to the white race has been enormous. Whereas in 1950, white people comprised 20% of the world's population, we now only comprise 8%. Why are we angry at the Jews? Let me tell you why I'm angry at the Jews. I'm angry at the Jews because I'm 61 years old, and for the last 55 years of my life, I have been made to feel guilty for a crime my people did not commit. We did not exterminate 6 million Jews in Germany by using homicidal gas chambers. And I want that fact made public. But because the Jews control the laws in Germany, we're not allowed to talk about it, or we go to jail for 5 years. Some of our most courageous spokesmen, like Ernst Zundel, are spending time in jail for committing this non-crime of telling the truth about Germany. Ernst Zundel, thanks to head Jew Michael Chertoff, who's the head of Homeland Security, who has done nothing to investigate 9/11 except to cover up the fact that the Mossad, not the Arabs, attacked us and felled our Twin Towers and attempted to hit our White House and our Pentagon by sending home 3 cells of spies, including one which was 200 strong, located right here in California. This attack on 9/11 was perpetrated against my country in order to create a situation which we now see, which is our men and women going to war, not for ourselves, but for Israel, so that they can control the Middle East. Shall I go on? I resent the fact that Mike Chertoff, head Jew, head of Homeland Security, has put in jail 3 important white leaders who have drawn attention to the fact that Israel has commandeered our government and is abusing us by making us go to war for them, most notably Ernst Zundel, who was whisked out of his home last January by some kind of odd squad that was sent to his home by Michael Chertoff, and is presently spending time in solitary confinement, where he has languished in Canada since that date of last January, so that he can be sent to Germany to go to jail for 5 years. And what is his crime? Publishing a book called Did 6 Million Die? The Truth at Last. The Jew continues to make it impossible for decent white people to discuss these subjects by using taxpayer money to set up Holocaust museums all over our country, which perpetrate the lies of the gas chambers, the pure Jew fat soap, and the Jewish lampshades. That's why I don't like the Jews. I used to think it was morally wrong to consider exterminating any race. I believed in the laws against genocide until I took a look at Public Law 95 in Germany, which says that it's illegal on pain of going to jail for 5 years if you incite racial violence. Let's see, inciting racial violence. What does that mean? Well, it's been interpreted to mean to say anything negative about anyone on the basis of his race. So you can't say nigger, you can't talk about exterminating races, and that's the point I want to focus on. Let's say, for example, that I am now talking about exterminating the Jews. This law presumes that if I talk about exterminating the Jews, some people, because of my discussion, will be emboldened to go out and start killing Jews. That's why my discussing exterminating the Jews in Germany is seen as inciting racial violence. But what person would be incited into committing a violent act against another person based merely on the discussion of extermination? What kind of serial killer or psychotic idiot would be impassioned to do such a thing based merely on a discussion, an intelligent discussion on whether or not a certain race needs to be exterminated? Well, obviously, only a madman would be emboldened to act in such a violent way over a mere discussion. More people would probably be incited to violence based on violent pornography, which is legal. So what they're doing in Germany is not making a law against improper action. They're making a law against a discussion of a certain type of political activity. That's crazy. They should be passing laws against violence, not against discussions that might incite people to violence. How popular is my opinion when I say I should be free to discuss the feasibility of exterminating a certain race? My position is that we have a law that says it's illegal to commit genocide. That sounds very good to me. I was brought up with that ethic. You shouldn't go to the next village and kill everybody. I mean, that's obvious. But then I see that my race is being exterminated, and I have to rethink that. Why is this law applied to everyone else's race except mine? Why is my race being punished for exterminating the Jews in Germany when they did not? This law is too vague to be enforceable. That's one point. Second point is it really a good law? Now that we're at a point where people are proliferating at a faster rate than ever before in history, where the human population, especially the population of the blacks and the browns, is doubling at the rate of every 25 years, whereas in the time of Christ it took 1,000 years for the human race to double its numbers, the entire planet is now threatened with complete annihilation if we don't slow down the increase in the population. The white race is not doing this. The white race, being a responsible race, looks at the problem and says, well, I'm not going to contribute to the chaos, so I will limit the number of my children to the proper number that if everyone else went along with my policy to only replace myself, there would be balance on the earth. The browns and blacks, who do not have the capacity intellectually to take that position, number one, and number two, to control their breeding, even if they wanted to, are threatening the survival of the planet. It may be time to start thinking about the white race doing something about the proliferation of the blacks and browns. 10,000 years ago, Homo sapien exterminated Neanderthal. Before that, Neanderthal exterminated Homo erectus. Hundreds of thousands of years before that, Homo erectus exterminated Homo habilis. This is how we progress. This is how we evolve. A new man, a more modern model comes along, a more fit model comes along, and exterminates the previous model. This is nature. My question is, are we at a point in evolution where the white man needs to exterminate the black man? Is the black man so different from the white man that he cannot be assimilated into the white man's world? And is the white man unwilling and really unable to create preserves for the black men to swing around in the trees, with well-stocked ponds full of fish that he can take out and eat, and berry bushes planted by the white man in beautiful little groves, along with citrus trees, etc.? Would this be a good idea? Or not? is it possible that the black man is such an evolutionary mistake, being far more vicious and dirty than any human being or even any animal, that he can correctly be seen as living outside of the evolutionary continuum? This is not just a missing link between animal and man. The higher mammals are lovely creatures, and everybody sees that and is attracted to them, and we're happy to build preserves for them. And they reward us by letting us look at them in their beautiful activities. These are the large mammals that we want to preserve. We want them to continue living on the face of the earth because they are so beautiful. It's worth our time to create large preserves for the large mammals. However, the black man doesn't seem to be like this. He doesn't seem to be a lovely creature that we want to get in our little jeeps and drive around a preserve full of black people and say, look how sweet they are. He seems to be the kind of animal that no matter what you do for him, he's going to see to do what he can to defeat your efforts to have a beautiful planet. He's going to escape, he's going to kill you, and he's going to destroy your culture. Should we or should we not allow the black man to continue living? I think this is a fit subject for discussion. Nobody has any problems suggesting the complete extermination of the white man, and no one would ever get put in jail for suggesting it. In fact, the authorities might applaud people who brought up such an idea. Look at how much problems the white man causes the non-whites. He doesn't like them. Who needs white people around to be superior to everybody else? If we just annihilate the white race, everyone else can devour what the white man has invented and then go back to living as animals. This has been brought up over and over again, constantly, socially, everywhere, in bars, even in the finest social gatherings. Would we be better off without the white race? And to that end, shall we have programs encouraging the race mixing of the white man with the non-whites, which will surely exterminate the white race, since the white man's genes are recessive? This is a discussion that is carried on all the time. Is it not time now for the white man to consider exterminating the non-whites rather than bowing gracefully off of the stage of humanity? Why should the white man accept extermination when he can easily exterminate the other races? It occurred to me when I was doing research on the subject of the gas chambers that there were exterminationists in Nazi Germany. And I didn't know that, but I should have figured it out. Goebbels was an exterminationist. Hitler was an exterminationist. And they did discuss these ideas. Would it be necessary to exterminate the Jews in order to free the white race to live its white life inside of its white picket fence without molestation on the part of the blacks and browns? However, I had already known, having done work for the last 2 years, that this extermination plan never took place. It did not occur to me until I discovered there were people discussing extermination that maybe this was an idea that needed to be discussed. Then I discovered that discussing the possibility was against the law in many countries. It made me think even more so that it needs to be discussed. And I think it must be discussed in America, because here in America it is not against the law, and we need to look at the pros and cons of the white race taking up arms against the primitive black man and the American Indian in order to free the planet for the furtherance of civilization, especially since, as we see, the proliferation of the blacks and the Mexicans is so intense that their very habit of procreation in litters rather than individual babies threatens all life on the planet. Nowhere are you going to find a better example of the horrors of mongrelization than the example of presidential candidate Wesley Clark, a Jew running for president, who is acting like a Jew. He has used military, he's a four-star general. He has used military equipment against Americans on American soil in violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. He is the one who furnished the military weapons that was used to firebomb the Qureshians. 88 men, women, and children, absolutely innocent of all wrongdoing, were bulldozed, firebombed, and murdered by presidential candidate and Jew Wesley Clark. Here truly is a mongrel to be feared. Here is a man who is the son of a rabbi, who is the son of a rabbi, who is the son of a rabbi, going back five generations. Then he disguised himself as a white person. He looks like a white person. His family has clearly intermarried by white people. And if you weren't told he's a Jew, you would not know he's a Jew. But he acts like a Jew. He is doing to our people on our soil exactly what he is doing to Palestinians on Palestinian soil, where they take bulldozers and gas and guns and murder Palestinians basically for the fun of it and to make the point of their Jewish supremacy. This is what they did to David Koresh and the Qureshians. First, they slandered their name by claiming that David Koresh was a pedophile. That's one of their techniques. They marginalize you and destroy your reputation by alleging that you are a pedophile. This gives them the ammunition they need to go into your home with their bullets, their firebombs, their bulldozers, and kill you all. And that's what he did to the Qureshians. Just to make the point that the Jew is in control now, and the white man has no rights in America, on American soil. This man is running for president. This is how dangerous mongrelization is. Aren't you tired of looking at the television set, listening to beautiful music, and seeing lovely white people singing and dancing, getting you almost hypnotized with the beauty of it, only to have a hideous Negro face pop up in front of your face because the Jews have decided that you need to be desensitized to Negroes? Well, I have invented a new product called Negro Recognition Software. You can buy it in your local office supply store for $79.99. Simply place the chip in the back of your television, and presto, your living room becomes a Negro-free environment. You need Negro Recognition Software.
Es spricht der Führer!
Warum liegt Deutschland?
I have finally found the definitive proof that there were no gas chambers at www.monamontgomery.com. This young Jewish man is really charming. He puts on his yarmulke and pretends to be a religious Jew, whereas, in fact, he's an atheist who's searching for the truth. He goes through the gas chamber tour and he asks questions of the tour guide, who lies to him and says that this gas chamber is the original gas chamber and that these holes in the ceiling are the original holes in the ceiling that they found when they liberated the Auschwitz concentration camp. He then talks to the director of the camp, who admits that this gas chamber is not original and that the holes are not original. He gets more discussions with the director and asks him, why do you have this door, which is clearly not original? And the director says, we have the original door in our storage area. So he goes to the storage area, and lo and behold, there is no door. He has absolutely proven, if you look at this video, which you can download from my website, www.monamontgomery.com, you are going to love this video. It's absolute proof that there were no gas chambers at Auschwitz, and that the Jews are intentionally lying. Now that we have this video of David Cole going into the Auschwitz concentration camp tour and talking to the director of Auschwitz, it's just a question of disseminating around to our local communities to blast the theory about the gas chambers. We have the video. It's taken 10 years for it to get open to the public, but it's now easily downloadable on the internet. Anyone can download this $50 video, rent a hall in your local community, show it, and become instantly famous in your community, as well as having the fun of exposing the Jews. It's so clear. He points to various points in the building that they claim to be a gas chamber, and they look right at the evidence and say it isn't there. For instance, the thing they say is a gas chamber was actually some kind of a shower, bathroom, place to change your clothes. It was that kind of a building, and there were a lot of walls in it. Well, it's hard to build a wall without leaving evidence of the wall. Even though they've removed the walls, you can still look at the floors and the ceilings and see where the walls were connected. So he says to the tour guide, weren't there walls here? No, the tour guide says, this was all one room. Later, he gets to the director, and the director admits that there were walls there, but his explanation is, well, originally there were no walls, then somebody built walls, and we just took out the walls to make it more like it was before. So, you see, they are purposely telling their tour guides to lie. This is such an enormous deception that it's going to blow the cork on the entire thing. As I said, download this video. You can get it on my website at www.monamontgomery.com. Rent a hall in your local community. Play this video for the people who come to your affair, which of course you will publicize in your newspaper, and you will be the toast of the town overnight. The tidal wave is breaking, ladies and gentlemen. Get on your surfs boards and ride until your daddy takes your T-bird away. I just can't believe that nobody has pointed out yet that the typhus that caused all the disease in the concentration camps is the exact same disease that we all know as Black Death. Black Death, or bubonic plague. Remember all of the pictures from the Middle Ages with all of those skeletal people walking around in shrouds and then dying in the streets? This is Black Death. This is bubonic plague. It wiped out 20 million people during the 1300s. It was this bubonic plague, this Black Death, that killed all of those prisoners in the concentration camps under Hitler. Why hasn't anyone brought this out yet? Typhus is not a simple disease. It's the disease we all know. We're so familiar with it. And that perfectly explains those skeletal figures. They were dying of the bubonic plague. The bubonic plague is caused by fleas who get on the bodies of rats and they get infection from the rats. Then they bite people and they passed the bubonic plague to the people by biting the person and then defecating into the wound. It's called Black Death. It's just astonishing to me that nobody's put this together before. We knew that there was typhus in the camps, but we didn't know that it was our old friend, the bubonic plague, that wiped out 20 million people in the Middle Ages. That's why those skeletal figures were found in the camps. It wasn't starvation. It was the bubonic plague, commonly known as typhus, commonly known as Black Death. So there's another mystery solved. That's how those poor prisoners, by the way, another name for this disease is prison fever. Anytime you get a whole lot of people together in too close conditions, you can get an outbreak of the plague, the Black Plague or the bubonic plague or typhus. That's why they had so much Zyklon B being pumped into the clothing in the buildings, and that's why they had to shave the heads of the prisoners, and they had to get rid of their clothing from their ghettos because they were full of fleas. They were infested with fleas. The Germans were trying valiantly to stop the spread of the Black Plague, and they did a very good job of it. But up until now, we've never put it together that the Black Plague, also known as the bubonic plague, is what caused those skeletal people, those skeletal prisoners in the concentration camps. Not starvation, not torture, but the Black Plague, brought in by their own fleas, infected by their own rats, in their own ghettos. Isn't just the Palestinians and the Muslims who hate the Jews. It's all good-thinking Americans who resent the fact that they hit us in 9/11 and then blamed it on the Arabs in a false flag operation, exactly like the Achille Lauro, the Levant Affair, and the attack on the USS Liberty. We've seen these false flag operations before. The Achille Lauro was a ship in which Arabs invaded the ship, attempted to sink it, and threw a Jew off the side of the ship who was in a wheelchair. But investigation has shown that it was a false flag operation, with the Mossad making a deal with the Arab to perpetrate this crime so that it would look like the Arabs were the ones attacking the Jews to throw suspicion off the Jews, who have been very busy attacking the United States since at least the assassination of JFK, whom they assassinated because he threatened to defang Israel by sending inspectors into Israel to examine their illegally manufactured nuclear weapons. Remember, it was under Eisenhower that we gave the Jews nuclear material, nuclear scientists, and enough money to light up the entirety of Israel under Eisenhower's famous Atoms for Peace plan. Instead of following the rules, as usual, the Jews lied and cheated and stole and amassed quite an impressive nuclear arsenal, which JFK sent inspectors in to look at. However, these tricky Jews had built a cement wall around their nuclear arsenal, and so the inspectors came back to JFK and said, "What are we to do?" JFK sent a strong letter to the Prime Minister of Israel in June of 1963, warning them that he was going to dismantle them. Within 4 months, he was assassinated. Shall we look at the USS Liberty? That was a $1 billion surveillance ship manned by the highest echelon of American intelligence crew, who surveilled the illegal taking of the Golan Heights on the part of the Israelis from Syria after they had illegally shot, execution style, 1,000 Egyptians in the desert. And to prevent our good surveillance officers from reporting this to the United Nations, Israel attempted to sink the USS Liberty. And then there was the Levant affair, where the Israelis dressed up like Egyptians, went into Egypt, and attempted to bomb USS libraries, diplomacy officers, and theaters, hoping that one more time we would blame the Arabs for Jewish activity. Now, do you really think that Americans don't care about the fact that the Jews one more time attacked our country in 9/11 and attempted to blame it on the Arabs? Do you remember that within 2 days after that attack, our president showed us pictures of 19 Arabs and said, "These are they"? But that today, 9 of those Arabs are still alive, and this has been reported in the Los Angeles Times as well as the BBC? We are being lied to. The Jews have control of our government, and every good-thinking America hates the Jews. What about the fact that the Jews are using American money to perpetrate atrocities against the Palestinians that are exactly as bad as the atrocities the Jews told us the Germans were perpetrating against the Jews in World War II, for which cause we went to war against our own people in World War II? Why would we forgive the Jews for lying to us about what the Germans were doing in World War II, which caused us to give them Israel, only to turn around and use our money to perpetrate these same atrocities against the innocent Palestinians? Remember, when we gave the Jews Israel, Israel was predicated on some terms and conditions. Most notably, the Israelis were not to drive the resident Palestinians off of the Israeli side of the partition plan. But from day one, they started a campaign of terror, torture, and rape to drive 750,000 innocent resident Palestinians from their homes. That was only the first step. The second step was to illegally steal the Golan Heights from Israel in direct violation of their agreement upon which Israel was predicated not to be an expansionistic force, not to create more war in the world. And today, after having taken the last remaining 50% of what's left of the Palestinians' land away from the Palestinians, they're building a wall that takes yet another 5%, including all of the little towns that wall encounters, at which point the wall circles around, makes a half circle around the village, which belongs to the Palestinian, continues on down its way southward, and steals more and more land, so that Palestine is left with only 12.5% of its original land. Then the Jews have the nerve to turn around and tell the world that they are being suicide bombed by Palestinians in Israel, when it isn't Israel at all, it's Palestine. The Israelis have expanded Israel from 50% of the partition plan to 88% of the partition plan, and yet still maintain the lie that they are peacefully dwelling in Israel and being bombed by suicide bombers for no reason at all. The truth is, they have invaded Palestine, they have stolen Palestine, they're using American equipment and money to do it, they're perpetrating atrocities. All that's left to the poor Palestinians is sticks and stones, which they valiantly use, along with the suicide bombers, which is the only war tactic left to them, because we, the Americans, have backed the Jews. No decent American is going to put up with being used and abused in this fashion. We are being... Why don't the Jews go to Israel? After we saved them in the Second World War and gave them their long-yearned-for homeland state, why are they still here getting into our business, controlling our government, if it's not because they want to destroy us? What else could their purpose be? They obviously are not loyal to us. Their first loyalty is to Israel. Ask any Jew if there were gas chambers in Germany, and they will tell you yes without any exceptions, even though they know it isn't true. They lie. They are in our country, exploiting us, lying to us. Isn't this sort of psychotic? Do you really think it's rational for a person to be in the middle of the people they hate the most in order to enjoy what should be a nurturing home life? They should be going to Israel. We gave them Israel. We give them $19 billion a year. Why don't they go? Why don't they build up the life that they claim they want so much? With all the money we've given them and are still giving them, with all the land they've got, why don't they focus on the gift they've been given and make something out of it, instead of just a hostile land where they can perpetrate their hideous atrocities against the innocent Palestinians? Why don't they build a home and go there? Hitler did accept Jews, half Jews at least, into his Reich if they were half Jewish, were not horribly ugly, and did not have a criminal character. He said that. He did not exclude all half Jewish people, just people who were half Jewish that looked and acted like Jews. If this mixed marriage was able to produce an Anglo genotype, Hitler accepted this into the fold. He was not as racist as many neo-Nazis are, who won't allow anyone into the fold that has a Jew going back three generations. Hitler was quite liberal in that regard.
Welcome to camp concentration. We've been sent here 'cause we're bad. The guru says we're never leaving, but there's lots of fun still to be had. Now.
Let's try to analyze the manner in which the Jew uses psychological techniques to exterminate the white race. The argument is, there is no such thing as race, therefore you, white man, do not exist. That's one of the planks of their argument. That's an axiom. Then they say, we Jews have produced many blue-eyed blondes. Okay, that's another statement from which they derive the following conclusion. Therefore, we Jews are as white as you. So on the one hand, you have the Jew saying there's no such thing as white people. And on the other hand, you have the Jew saying, we the Jews are white. Now, they put that together in a way that allows them to move into white society and turn it Jewish. That's why you get Jews coming in to white Christian social gatherings, preaching the gospel of Christianity in a distinctly Jewish way. For example, Merry Christmas! Let's all celebrate mongrelization today! I think it's probably time for us to get aggressive about setting up crucifixes on our private property. And the proper holiday for that is coming right up. It's Easter. We need to be setting up big crucifixes with Jesus' bleeding carcass nailed to the cross, just like the Jews caused to happen to our Lord 2,000 years ago, to let the Jews know that they haven't convinced us, that the nicest thing we could possibly do for Jesus would be to turn all of our children into Jews. No, that's not the best thing we could do for Jesus. The best thing we can do for Jesus is remember that the Jews crucified him, or at least dragged him before Pontius Pilate, and used their influence with the Roman authorities to force them to crucify Jesus. They refused to allow him to get amnesty, even though he had committed no crime, when Pontius Pilate offered to set him free, choosing instead to let that murderer Barabbas go free. And they screamed, crucify him, and mocked him and ridiculed him on the cross. But because they have so much power over our media, they are forcing people who do the life of Christ to play down these truths. It's time for Christians to fight back and bring the truth back into focus. The Jews crucified Christ, and we Christians have an obligation to Christ to remind the world forever that this unpardonable sin has not become forgotten. To this end, I suggest that this Easter, all good Christians bring out their crucifixes, build new crucifixes, put them in their windows, put them in their doors, put them on their lawns, and let the Jew know we're on to him.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, there were some very funny people without any brains, any ethics, or any health. We think of these people as being the ancient Hebrews, but actually they were a raggle-taggle group of gypsies who didn't even know how to cook or weave clothes or wear decent linens. They couldn't even grow grains or make vines to grow grapes and wine. All they could do for a living was follow herds of animals, because the animals were smarter than they were about locating the next field of grass. We call these people the ancient Jews, but that's not what they were. They were Jews, Gentiles, whites, blacks, browns, yellows, mixed breeds of various sorts, all manner of outcasts from all of the races from all over the world, gathered together on the plains of Israel and followed the sheep who followed the goats, who knew how to get to the next grassy plain. These people were about on the level of today's sub-Saharan Negroes, in that they were both animal followers and the sacrificers of their own children on altars to God. They worshipped the devil. One of these people, a man named Abraham, was the very first of these creepy, vile monsters not to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar to the devil. And because of this breakthrough moral act of refraining from killing his own kid, he became the father of the Middle East. It was considered so wonderful not to slaughter your own son on the altar to God. At any rate, God so blessed this man for this breakthrough ethical decision that he promised to make him the father of many nations. And from this man came many children, 12 in fact, who established the 13 houses of Israel. There were 13 instead of only 12 because one of his children had two children whom he adopted. So that's how 12 became 13. But at any rate, these houses, these children of Abraham, were split up into two types, the Israelites and the Jews. The Israelites formed the house of Israel, and the Jews formed the house of Judah. Jesus did not come from the house of Judah. He came from the house of Israel. So the Jews lie to you when they say that Jesus was a Jew. Not only was Jesus not a Jew, he hated the Jews because they were constantly running after him and ridiculing him and trying to trip him up, because he did not come to save the children of the house of Judah. As he said himself, "I have come to save the lost children of Israel." Here's what happened in Israel. God was the God of the 13 tribes of Israel, which broke away from the three tribes of Judah, creating a situation where we had the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The house of Israel were the good white people, and the house of Judah were the Jews. Then the house of Israel and the house of Judah broke away from their true God and started race mixing with the Assyrians, so God abandoned the house of Israel. In order to reclaim the lost children of the house of Israel, the good, pure, white people, Jesus came down to this earth, sacrificed his life in order to reunite God, who is white, with the lost children of Israel. He also at that time united the houses of Israel with Judah. So now we have a situation where the lost children of Israel have been reunited with the children of Judah, and this is the true Israel of today. This is the white race and those few converted Jews who have accepted Christ as the uniting force of the best people of the world, the white race and the converted Jews. The Jews of today who claim to be Jews and are not are actually the spawn of Satan and need to be thrown into the fire before they completely destroy the world. Presently, our country, God's country, is under the control of this spawn of Satan, and so white Christianity has to rise up, drive out the Jews, reclaim America for white Christians, and then spread the gospel of sanity and civilization to the world. Starting, of course, with God's first tenet of faith, thou shalt not race mix.
Fishing in the ocean. Suddenly, you see a shark nearby and it is heading right towards you. What do you do? A. Judge the shark on the stereotype that sharks attack and kill people and get out of the water quickly. Or B. Be politically correct and judge the shark as an individual. Perhaps he is one of the few that doesn't fit the stereotype given to sharks and will not attack and kill you. Stay in the water and don't be a sharkophobe. Which of the two choices is the most intelligent choice? Which one would ensure the safety of your life? Will you teach your children to be sharkophobes and to stay away from and fear them? Or will you teach them that stereotypes are bad and force them to play and swim with sharks because it is wrong to judge all sharks based on the facts that many sharks attack and kill people? Stereotypes. Don't be ashamed or afraid to use them. They could save your life or the life of someone you love.
Well, I want to talk about Wesley Clark. Wesley Clark. Wesley Clark is running for president. He's a Jew. He's the son of a Jewish rabbi, who's the son of a Jewish rabbi going back five generations. And Wesley Clark looks like a white man. Too bad for us, because he's trying pretty hard to get through the immune system of the American people and be named as president of our fair country. Wesley Clark, the Zionist Jew, who furnished military weapons to the operation against the Qureshians, firebombed them, bulldozed them, and killed 88 innocent men, women, and children, Americans, on American soil, for no reason except that they wanted out of the Zionist organized government in the United States of America. And how did they justify this horrible attack? By claiming that David Koresh was a pedophile. Well, I don't think David Koresh was a pedophile, but this is how the Jews operate. They falsely accuse someone of a crime, and then they use that false accusation to justify hideous crimes against their victim. We really have to not allow Wesley Clark to be voted in as president of the United States. Nowhere are you going to find a better example of the horrors of mongrelization than the example of presidential candidate Wesley Clark, a Jew running for president, who is acting like a Jew. He's a four-star general. He has used military equipment against Americans on American soil in violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. He is the one who furnished the military weapons that was used to firebomb the Qureshians. 88 men, women, and children, absolutely innocent of all wrongdoing, were bulldozed, firebombed, and murdered by presidential candidate and Jew Wesley Clark. Here truly is a mongrel to be feared. Here is a man who is the son of a rabbi, who is the son of a rabbi, who is the son of a rabbi going back five generations. Then he disguised himself as a white person. He looks like a white person. His family has clearly intermarried by white people. And if you weren't told he's a Jew, you would not know he's a Jew. But he acts like a Jew. He is doing to our people on our soil exactly what he is doing to Palestinians on Palestinian soil, where they take bulldozers and gas and guns and murder Palestinians basically for the fun of it, and to make the point of their Jewish supremacy. This is what they did to David Koresh and the Qureshians. First, they slandered their name by claiming that David Koresh was a pedophile. That's one of their techniques. They marginalize you and destroy your reputation by alleging that you are a pedophile. This gives them the ammunition they need to go into your home with their bullets, their firebombs, their bulldozers, and kill you all. And that's what he did to the Qureshians. Just to make the point that the Jew is in control now, and the white man has no rights in America on American soil. This man is running for president. This is how dangerous mongrelization is. Thank you for listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's edition of The Holohoax. Come on. See you next week, same time, same station.